Why?
Why?
If you
Why?
Have T-Mobile 5G home internet, you might be hearing this
Why?
A lot.
Why?
Every time your internet slows down during the busiest hours.
Why?
Why?
Because your network gives priority to cell phone users.
Why?
Good question. Why not switch to Cox Internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours?
Okay.
Stop the whys and visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion.
Looking for a fun way to win 25 times your money this football and basketball season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of stats, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and injury insurance on your picks are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million players who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/play100 and use code play100. That's code play100 at prizepicks.com/play100 for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
It is SNY.TV's The Juice on the Cuse podcast, covering Syracuse basketball, lacrosse, and football.
Today on The Juice on the Cuse podcast on SNY.TV, we'll be talking about five-star wing Isaiah Jackson and a brutal loss for the Syracuse basketball team. I'm Wes Chang, and I'll be joined later by Andrew Cowie, and our guest today is Adam Zagoria from Zags Blog and The New York Times. Adam, thank you so much for coming back on the program.
Sure, Wes. How are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing well, Adam, and Syracuse fans are getting excited about 2020 five-star wing Isaiah Jackson, who will decide on November 16th between Syracuse, Alabama, and Kentucky. You've gotten to see him play. What kind of skill set does he have, and does he have an NBA career ahead of him?
Yeah, I saw him this summer at Peach Jam West, and I was really impressed. He's a, whatever he is, 6'8", 6'9", you know, long, athletic forward who runs the floor and is really dominant around the basket. And, I've been talking to his dad, and, I definitely think he has a chance at a pro career ahead of him. They're kind of keeping the recruitment close to the vest. And his dad told me he stays in touch with Coach Boeheim and Coach Autry. And then he also talks to John Calipari and Coach Oates at Alabama. You know, they just visited Alabama. My sense is the Syracuse staff doesn't really have a strong feeling on where he's going to go. And, he could go to any of those schools, but, keep in mind, Kentucky doesn't really have any front court commits yet for 2020. So, that's always something, when Kentucky's in the race, you gotta keep that in mind.
Do you have a gut feeling or prediction of where he'll end up right now?
I usually do have a prediction and a gut feeling, but I'm going to hold off in this case because I really don't know. His last visit was to Alabama. His father spoke glowingly to me about Alabama and said they're going to offer to build a program around him and he'd be the face of the program. So I think they like that. Kentucky's Kentucky, obviously. And then, Syracuse State is another option. But I think Kentucky only having the one front court player, Lance Ware from New Jersey, is, they're obviously in the market for a couple more front court guys.
Let's shift topics and talk about Kadari Richmond. He committed to Syracuse in late October. What do you like about his game, and how do you see him doing at Syracuse?
He's a New York City kid, Wes. He started at South Shore in Brooklyn. I saw him, last year when he was there, and he just stands out as a big, 6'5" guard. He can play multiple positions. He can play the 2, 3, or 4. He's at Brewster in New Hampshire now, which is obviously one of the top prep school programs in the country. I think Syracuse kind of envisions him, playing the small forward position and playing in the front court.
You know, Adam, Kadarius Richmond ended up at Syracuse because their original target, Andre Jackson, committed to Connecticut. The two of them are going to get compared a lot as a result by Syracuse fans. How do you compare the two of them?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I guess Andre's a little bigger. He's about maybe 6'6", 6'7". I think Kadarius listed at 6'5". You know, I don't think either one of them is considered like a surefire, you know, NBA player or anything like that. They're both going to have to work, you know, to get where they want to go. I think Syracuse sees Kadarius playing, you know, multiple positions, 2, 3, and 4, play the small forward. I think Andre can play kind of, you know, 4 positions and is more of a slasher, defensive player who has to work on his shot. You know, I think in light of the fact that Syracuse did not get Andre, you know, getting Kadari is a great get for them.
Adam, we'll get you out of here on this one. Earlier in the week, news came out about Seton Hall tampering with former Syracuse forward Taurean Thompson, with two coaches being suspended. What's the latest going on there?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a weird deal because, you know, this happened 2 years ago when Taurean transferred. I believe it was like he left Syracuse August of 2017, and then Seton Hall announced he was coming in September 2017, so it's been a couple of years. Obviously, Syracuse wasn't happy with how that went down. They got left in the dust, you know, in August when it's hard to replace a player. If it had happened in the spring, you know, Coach Boeheim and the staff could have gone out and gotten somebody. My understanding is it has to do with Shaheen Holloway's uncle's relationship with Thompson. I know that, you know, Shaheen was actively recruiting Taurean to Seton Hall, and I think, you know, Syracuse, from what I understand, you know, turned in, you know, Shaheen and Seton Hall. And now first Kevin kind of took the fall and did 2 games. One of them was an exhibition, and then he set out the opener, and now he'll come back Saturday against Stony Brook. And now it's reached St. Peter's, where Shaheen is the head coach, and you know, he's getting 4 games.
Adam, thanks so much for coming back on the program again. Adam Zagoria from Zags Blog and the New York Times. Adam, enjoy the start of the college basketball season. We'll speak with you soon.
Thanks, Wes. Anytime, buddy. Take care.
Great stuff from our friend Adam Zagoria. Always a pleasure to talk to him about recruiting. And I'm now joined over the phone by the Juice Online senior college basketball analyst and 2003 national champion, Andrew Cowie. Andrew, always a pleasure to have you on. How are you today?
Wes, I'm doing great. Hope the same for you.
You know, Andrew, I was doing a little bit better until I watched that Syracuse-Virginia game on Wednesday night, 48-34. Syracuse hasn't had that kind of offensive output since World War II. It's just a brutal game to watch. What were your general observations from the game?
Yeah, that was not a great watch as a Syracuse fan. And even if you're just a neutral and a fan of college basketball, that was a tough game to watch. You know, I actually had talked to Mello a couple of days before the game, and he had mentioned to me that we were trading some texts. He mentioned that he was going to go to the game. And then I sent him a note after the game and said, hey, I think you scored more points in the semifinals against Texas than we did tonight. So, It was tough. You know, I know how Boeheim said after the game, you know, Virginia is not a team you really want to play when you're trying to figure out your offense and first game of the year. And, you know, I can't disagree with that. I mean, I can't disagree with that at all. I mean, he's totally right. I mean, you watch that game and just Virginia just knows how to play defense. It's what they do. It's great on ball defending, great help defense. And that's going to take us out of rhythm. And when you're trying to figure things out, figure out the right rotation and figure out where guys' best spots are, it's not ideal. That said, though, you know, I thought it was a game that because I don't think Virginia's that great just from watching them either. And I thought it was a game that we could maybe sneak by a win early, obviously early in the season, that will pay dividends later down the road as you look at your resume for March Madness. So I was hoping we could just sneak away with an ugly win, but it wasn't meant to be last night. It was tough to watch.
Yeah, it wasn't an ugly win. It was just ugly, as people like to say. And hey, look, you scored 34 points. If you're on that coaching staff, what are you doing to jumpstart this offense? What is Coach Boeheim going to do in the next few games, which are cupcakes, to make sure that this doesn't happen again?
Right. I'm not sure how cupcake it is. That's one of the things I think a little bit of a worry. I think these games coming up while at home and against what you used to be kind of my favorite games, right? Games that I knew I was going to get some good minutes against Colgate and Cornell's of the world. But these could be a little bit more difficult than maybe imagined. You know, I think one of the things, you know, one thing I know about Boeheim is while he is known obviously around the country, you know, as a 2-3 zone, and that's what, you know, people know Boeheim for, he is an offensive minded coach. He likes offensive players. He likes pure, you know, great shooters, great knowledge of, you know, offensive savants like a Carmelo, like a, you know, Lawrence Moten and a Preston Shumpert, that guys that can hit shots from multiple areas. So I know a game like that really frustrates him. And what I see is that I think he's going to be playing around with the starting lineup a lot. That I think he knows that the current starting lineup is not an offensive team with Dolezal and Carey. I just don't see them as pure offensive players. So I think you're going to see possibly in these next 3 or 4 games some shuffling around that's going to get more of a pure offensive team out there, and that will hopefully open up shots for other guys.
Andrew, I'm glad you mentioned the starting lineup. You actually just talked about Jalen Carey, and he really struggled running that offense. They were stuck at 2 points until Joe Girard entered the game. Girard only shot 1 of 6, but you can see that the moment wasn't bigger than him. He displayed plenty of toughness and moxie. I see Girard becoming the new starting point guard in the very near future. Do you agree?
I think you're right. I think Girard, you know, freshman first game, he looked poised. He looked like the stage wasn't too big. You know, he had some, you know, tough on ball defending and handles the ball well. He's just, you know, you don't think it's going to get taken from him or anything like that. So I really do think, you know, he's going to be the starter, just because what happens is really the only player I see is maybe Elijah Hughes that can kind of really create his own shots. And if you need a one-on-one situation and need a bucket, he can do that. And for him to be effective, he needs guys around him that can still score. So having Girard and Buddy, and then I think even Dolezal might get less playing time if they can find another scorer in there, because Buddy and Girard need space to get their shot open and can't really create on their own. But if you get 3 or 4 offensive players in there, they're all good shooters, that's just going to get the rhythm going. And it's hard to guard 3 or 4 shooters. It's hard for a defense, you know, a normal defense to guard 3 to 4 shooters. And I think that's why he's going to have to kind of tweak the starting lineup to get more of an offensive mind. And it's going to hurt us defensively, right? It's going to hurt us rebounding. It's going to hurt us, especially on the low post. But I think that's really our only option going forward.
Andrew, we are right at the end of our show. Your closing thoughts?
Yeah, my closing thoughts, similar to what we talked about, you know, these next 3-4 games, right? You have home games and teams that are not, your powerhouse like Virginia. I mean, I think we all need to start watching how he rotates, how quickly he subs guys. You know, you saw the second half with Carey, you know, out in about 3-4 minutes. When does he make the switch for a starting lineup? Because I think, that's going to tell us what ACC play is all about. Because he's going to have his, you know, that starting lineup and that rotation ready to go once Big Boy Conference starts.
Andrew, my closing thoughts are along the same lines. 34 points, obviously a brutal start, no doubt about it, but it's the first game of the season against the defending national champions, and Syracuse is still figuring out its starting lineups, its rotation, and how to properly space the floor. I would just urge Syracuse fans to remain a little patient as Jim Boeheim figures out how to replace 4 starters and work in 5 freshmen. That's it for us. For Andrew Cowie, this is Wes Chang reminding you that pumpkin is a nice thing to call someone unless that person is overweight and wearing orange. You've been listening to the Juice on the Cuse podcast on SNY.TV, and we'll see you next time.
This has been the Juice on the Cuse podcast, part of the SNY.TV audio network.